Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We want to notice, first of all, here in this first verse, where he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." His cry was a cry for mercy. I believe that no doubt is the cry of each one of us here this morning, whether we're saved or whether you may be lost. Our cry is for mercy. And I believe that David knew that the Lord was the only one that had the power to grant unto him that which he stood in need of, and that was the mercy of God. And I believe also, no doubt, each of us here this morning knows the sinner that we are before a holy and a righteous God. I believe that we all know our true condition before the Lord this morning. And I believe that David, no doubt here, was throwing himself upon the mercy of God. I believe it's only the mercy of God that each one of us are alive today. And that we're saved by the grace of God. It's because of the mercy of God. And so we see that David cried out for mercy, and he got it. One day I cried out for mercy, and I received it. But we want you to notice here that he cried out for it. I believe everybody that has ever been saved by the grace of God, they cried out for mercy. They realized the condition and the sinners that they were before a holy and a righteous God. And they cried out for mercy. And the Lord had mercy on each one of us. I was preparing this last night, and I just sat there and I got to thinking about mercy. about how merciful the Lord Jesus Christ has been to me all the days of my life. And I thought, well, what would be a good definition of mercy? And I believe that the beauty of mercy is not getting what we deserve. You can put RTJ right after that. The beauty of mercy is not getting what we deserve. I believe every single one of us this morning deserve to go to hell. You're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You deserve to go to hell. And if you continue on in your lost and undone condition, and you don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you don't want to repent of your sins, you don't want to receive Him as your personal Savior this morning, hell is your doom. You're going to go to hell. And when you go to hell, you're going to go there, you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. The flame is never going to go out. How sad to know today that people are dying at this very moment, dying and going to hell. As quick as I can click my finger, they're dying and going to hell. But God, in His love and His mercy and His grace, has given you one more opportunity to set under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know one more time how to be saved by the grace of God. You get to hear the doctrine of repentance and a preacher preaching to you and urging with you and pleading and begging you to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He has been merciful to you one more day. He has given you one more hour. He has given you one more opportunity to hear that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He bled and suffered and died and was buried and arose again the third day that you might be saved by the grace of God. That's mercy. That's mercy. And so the beauty of mercy is not getting what we deserve. I praise God this morning for His loving kindness. I praise Him for His pity. I praise Him for His compassion. I didn't deserve to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve His compassion. I don't deserve His loving kindness. But there come a day in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ manifested Himself unto me and showed me how much He really loved me. And outside of the Apostle Paul, I was the chiefest of sinners. You say, no, you wasn't, Brother Jones. I was. But in His love and His mercy and His grace, He dealt with me and saved me by His wonderful and marvelous grace. David realized that his sin had to be blotted out. He realized that the Lord was the only one that could erase his past. And David had a past. David was a man of God after God's own heart. But he was just a sinner saved by the grace of God. He was confronted with the same sins that you and I are confronted with every day. But he realized that the Lord was the only one that could blot out his transgressions. He took blame for his own sins. He didn't try to cover them up. He didn't try to make excuses for them. He knew that the only way that his life was going to be clean, that his life was going to be pure, and that he was going to be a fit subject for heaven was for the Lord Jesus Christ to wash him and to cleanse him from his sins. Notice there in verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And there's two words that stood out there to me as I was reading that. He said, "Wash me and cleanse me." Wash me and cleanse me. And I thought as I was thinking about this, I thought about the blood and the water that come from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're cleansed from your sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sin defiled every single one of us. From Adam to the very last one that's been born today. Sin has defiled each one of us. And you need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're defiled by sin. That's the reason you need to be saved by the grace of God. Listen this morning. Sin will take you further than you intend to go. Sin defiles. It'll take you further than you intend to go. You say, "Brother Jones, I never intended to be as far in sin as I am today." But there you are. Sin will always take you further than you intend to go. You say, "Oh, I intended to repent of my sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior a long time ago." But you're still there. It'll take you further than you intend to go. I went to Sunday school from a little child on up till I got up into my teens when I thought I knew everything there was to know. And I thought, "Well, I can venture away. I don't have to go to church this Sunday. I don't have to go to Sunday school this week." And I wasn't forced to go. I wasn't made to go. And I thought, "Well, I'll come back. I'll go next Sunday." And I got out and I got away. It kept going further and further away. And I missed the next Sunday. And I missed the next Sunday. And then I got to the point where, when I didn't even think about Sunday. Didn't even think about going to church. Never even thought about God. Never thought about the Lord. Sin had taken me further than I intended to go. Sin also will cost you more than you intend to pay. It'll cost you more than you intend to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you intend to stay. And I have a whole message on those three points. It'll keep you longer than you intend to stay. You thought that you would get out of that sin a long time ago. But you're still there. You need to be purged from the pollution of your sin. I couldn't help but think of David's life back here in the book of Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's read the first few verses. "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raboth. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. That was the beginning of David's downfall. Was tarrying. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw. Circle that little word, saw. He saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. The Bible said, if a man looketh on a woman to lust after in his own heart, he's guilty. He's committed sin already in his own heart. And that's exactly what David did. And David sent. Circle that little word, sent. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purged from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. We see here three things in these first few verses. David saw, David sent, and he lay with her, and David sinned. And sin had taken David further than he intended to go. And it kept him longer than he intended to stay. And it cost him more. You say, what did it cost him? Turn to the next chapter, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 8. Listen, there is consequences to sin. Look at verse 8. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite. See, David had taken Uriah's wife, Uriah's husband, and put him on the front of the battle line. Had him killed. And he says here, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. Thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. There is consequences to sin. Don't think for a moment that there's not. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken thy wife, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, to thy battle, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. Sinner friend, that's the place that you've got to come to. You've got to come to the very same place that David came to. You have got to do it. Look at all the personal pronouns there in the psalm that we started with. I have sinned against the Lord. That's what you need to hear. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to understand, is that you have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. David, your sin is forgiven. You are forgiven. But the sword shall never depart from thine house. The Lord has forgiven me every sin that I have ever committed. But I have scars. I have scars. I have consequences of my sins. And he said in verse 15, and Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Notice verse 23. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David suffered the consequences of sin. He was forgiven. He was forgiven. But he reaped what he sowed. Kids, listen to me. Teenagers, all you kids, listen to me. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. You say, well, I can venture away here. I can get away a little bit, and I can take just a little bit of drugs. I can smoke marijuana just one time. If I do it just one time, that's not going to hurt me any. Let me tell you something, kids. That will take you further than you intend to go. You boys say, well, I can go out here and I can have just, I'm just going to have one bottle of beer. That's all I'm going to drink. That's all I'm going to drink. Listen, that one bottle of beer will take you further than you intend to go. I thought I could get off on the gravel road here and there every once in a while with a bunch of guys and drink a bottle of beer, and that's exactly what I did. But at the age of 23 years old, I was a drunken alcoholic. That sin had taken me further than I intended to go. I thought I could handle it. I thought I could take care of that. But it had taken me further than I had intended to go. And it had cost me more than I intended to pay. And I came to the point in my life where I just about lost my wife, lost my son, lost my home, lost everything that I had. Sin had taken me further than I intended to go. So don't think for a moment that you can take that one bottle of beer, or you can drink, smoke that one puff off that marijuana cigarette, or whatever it's called, drugs, dope, and you'll make it okay. It'll take you further than you intend to go. It'll cost you more than you intend to pay. There's many men, women, boys and girls today that's in hospitals and behind jail bars because they thought they could handle it. They didn't think it was going to take them further than they intended to go. They never dreamed that they would be where they're at today. Maybe you're here this morning and you never dreamed that it would take you. Sin would take you as far as it has taken you today and taken you to where you're at today. But there you are. That has always been the law of God, and it'll continue to be the law of God. You are going to reap what you sow. And so we see that David admitted his sin. He confessed his sin. You say, what do I need to know to be saved by the grace of God? Just to admit that you're a sinner. Just admit that you're a sinner. And confess it. That you have sinned against a holy and a righteous God. That you have sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ. David didn't try to hide his sin. He didn't try to keep his sin secret. He did there for a while. But his sin came in the open. Came out in the open. Sinner friend, your sins are going to come out at the great white throne judgment. Child of God, your sins are going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, I can commit that sin. Nobody will know it. My wife will never find out. My husband will never find out. Your sin is going to come out. You say, is all I did was just patted her on the hand. I had a fellow tell me that. I had a church member tell me that one time. He says, all I did was pat her on the hand. You know where that fellow is today? He's without his wife. He's without his children. And he's with the woman that he just patted her hand. Is all I did was just look at her with my eye. Your sin is going to come out. David's sin came out. He was forgiven. But the guilt and the defilement and the consequences was still there. Now, look at verse 4. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You know, sin is a personal problem. Your sin is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. David realized that he had a problem. He had a sin problem. And it was a personal problem. And you must acknowledge your sin before the Lord. Walking down the aisle won't get the job done. Confessing your sin because you got caught, that won't work either. How many times have we seen that? I've been pastor for over 30 years. And I've seen it happen so many times. Gone to people, gone to members, gone to the home to visit them. And we have to tell you, if you don't get this thing right, we're going to have to discipline you from the church. A week or two later,
to come to service. Invitations given. Here they come. They confess because they got caught. That won't get the job done. That won't work. We see here that David, that the Lord had done a work on David's heart and granted him repentance. And he come truly repenting of his sin and crying out for mercy. Oh God, forgive me. The Lord had worked on his heart and had granted him repentance and faith to get rid of that sin, to confess that sin. Sin had not only affected David's mind, but it affected his heart also. You know, the Lord said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so he says, against thee. Against thee. Against thee, a holy God. Against thee, a just God. Against thee, a mighty God. Against thee, a glorious God. He was just simply saying, against thee only do I sin. Against thee only do I sin. He was saying that I know that before thee I'm nothing but a sinner. Or before thee I do nothing but evil continually. My whole life is evil. My whole life is depraved on account of my sin. In thy sight have I sinned. In the very sight of God. Have I sinned? And then he goes on and mentions in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, repenting will cause you to have joy and gladness. He repented. Then come that joy. Here come that gladness. That alone will give you assurance of salvation. You confess your sin, get that taken care of. You can't have joy and gladness when there's sin in your life. David knew that. And then he goes on to say, renew a right spirit within me. Renew. There in verse 10. Renew a right spirit. Let me tell you, a right spirit comes from the Lord. Renew a right spirit. So that tells me he had something new at one time. Huh? Re means again. Revival, vive, means life. Re means again. Again, life. Here he says, renew. He had something new at one time. Renew a right spirit within me. And then he goes on to say, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. There we have it again. Restore. He was right with the Lord at one time in his life.
You can't restore something that hasn't been there before. And so He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But in verse 11 He says, cast me not. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In other words, I believe that he was crying, oh God, don't leave me to myself. Lord, don't stop dealing with me. Would you like for the Lord to leave you to yourself? Would you like the Lord just to stop working with you and dealing with you and working on your heart? I don't believe there's a person here that would want that to happen. And that's what David was saying. Don't leave me to myself. I believe every single one of us know within our own hearts what we would be, what we would do apart from the Lord and the Holy Spirit working in our life. Don't leave me to myself. And then he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He wanted to be where he was at the first day that the Lord saved him by the grace of God. That's where he wanted to be. Restore unto me. I want to be where I was the first day the Lord saved me. You remember how wonderful it was? You remember how happy and how joyful it was when you were first saved? If you're not saved this morning, cry out as David did. If you're saved and away from the Lord, cry out as David did. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. Do you want justice? Do you want justice? Or do you want mercy? Do you want what you deserve? Or do you want mercy? Say, Brother Jones, I want to be saved more than anything in the world. Trust Christ. Trust Him. If you can trust Him this morning, you come. You're here this morning saved by the grace of God, member of this church. Maybe you're saved. Maybe the Lord saved you several years ago. But you've gotten away from the Lord. And you want to cry out for mercy. Maybe you want to repent. The Lord has spoken to you. Did you come this morning?